Listen. When we have something important to say, or we don't think people are listening, we often preface it with the word listen, don't we? Listen. You can just imagine a master tradesman talking to his young apprentice who thinks he knows it all. Listen. Or a mum talking to her child. Listen. Of course, sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we think we have something worth hearing and we don't. But not Jesus. When Jesus says to us, listen, then friends, we need to listen. And in today's story, there's only one command. It's given twice. And it's listen. And then in the second part of the reading, which I'm not going to go into, in verse 23, we again see the word listen. Jesus wants us to listen. And the truth is, I don't think we've listened that well to this parable. I think this is one of those parables that we think we know, but we haven't listened that well to. See, by not reading this parable carefully, not thinking about what it says to us, I think we fall into this trap. We read this and go, okay, there are three souls that are bad. There's one that's good. The one that's good is me. I'm the Christian, so I'm okay. There's no tension. And friends, that is not the way to read this parable. In fact, that's not what this parable says. And I share that with you because I've been guilty of doing the same thing. A few months ago, I was on annual leave, and the weird life of a minister, I thought, while I'm on annual leave, I'll read through Mark slowly. That's just my quiet time, right? That's not work, even though I was preaching Mark. But anyway, so I was reading through Mark slowly, and I stopped at the parable of the sower for a week. I spent a week just reading and rereading this because it struck me. In fact, it struck me so hard, I then checked the parable of the sower in Luke and Matthew to make sure that what I was reading was true in all of them. In fact, I even went to the apocryphal Gospel of Thomas and it was the same there as well. Right? It's everywhere, it says the same message. And I feel like it was only September this year I finally listened to Jesus in this parable. And so today, I hope you can listen. I hope that today you can hear what Jesus is saying to us in this parable, because I think mostly we've got it wrong. So I'm going to pray now that God will give us the ears to hear what he wants to say to us today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And today, Lord, I pray that we would listen and that you would bear much fruit in us for your glory and for the glory of the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, chapter 4, verse 1. Let's hear what Jesus has to say to us. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea and sat down while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. He taught them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen. Now, Jesus could have done anything. He could have dismissed the crowd. He could have said, look, I need some time with my disciples. He might have healed the sick. He might have gone to pray. But in that moment, he had something to say. And so he says, listen. And friends, I just want to say that when God speaks, we need to listen. One of the challenges for me as a preacher is sometimes I need to give critique to other preachers. But I always need to sit under God's word first. I always need to make sure that I'm listening first, critiquing second. Because God speaks to me through that word, and he speaks to all of us through the word. So every time we open the Bible, our posture has to be humility. The master is speaking. I need to listen. And then Jesus taught the parable of the sower, or the parable of the four soils, as it's sometimes known. And I'm going to summarize the story for you. A farmer goes out to plant some seed, and some of it ends up on the path, and the birds come along and eat it. A second lot of seed ends up on the rocks. It starts growing, but there's nowhere for the roots to grow, so it withers and dies. A third lot falls among thorns. The thorns choke out the plant and it doesn't bear fruit. But the fourth lot of seed falls into good soil, where it produces a crop of 30, 60 or 100 times what was sown. Now, friends, I think the gardening metaphor is simple enough to understand, right? It's spring. It's that time of year when we go to the plant centre, or we go to Bunnings and we spend a few hundred dollars on soil improvers, plant seeds to grow $20 worth of plants, right? It's that time of year. But the satisfaction of growing your own veggies, that's pretty special, isn't it? But I suspect most of us would be better off just taking that money and going straight to the greengrocer. We live in hope while our plants live and die in fear. But sometimes it works. But a good gardener can produce a bountiful crop. At least our theory is every year you plant enough different things and one of them will grow. But for the sower of seed, conditions are not entirely right. A path is not a good place to grow seed. You know, I've never had basil or spinach grow out of those cracks in concrete. I'd imagine that, the spinach just keeps growing back. I have to keep tearing it off and eating it. And it just keeps, you know, I've never had that. But weeds, no problem. Likewise, the rocky soil, or in my case, the clay soil. I don't know what soil's like at your place, but I'm guessing it's not that different to mine. You dig through, you think, I've hit rock. And then you start getting in hard and you realise, no, that's not rock, that's just clay. That's as hard as rock. And so, well, you plant and it dies because it's got nowhere to put its roots. Of course, you could have prepared the soil and done that, I know, but hey, I bought the plants today, it's going in today. The third soil is likewise a problem because the plant grows, but it's choked out by the thorns and it doesn't produce fruit. And so a blueberry bush that produces no blueberries, it's a stick, right? It's of no use to you. But sometimes a plant grows and produces fruit. This year we had pumpkins all winter, right? I don't know why, but we did, right? They're grown everywhere. Now, I love seedless fruit. Recently, I had watermelon with seeds in it because we actually grew one at home. We grew a watermelon and I ate it and thought, this is terrible. I remember in the 70s, I loved watermelon and you spit out the seeds. Now it's like, no, give me the seedless. Right, seedless oranges, seedless grapes, they're fantastic. But if you're a first century gardener and you don't happen to have a jar of rooting hormone available, it's not much use to you, is it? Seedless fruit gives you one delicious mess, but that's it. Now, of course, Jesus' point is not about how we grow plants. Jesus is not giving a lesson on how to grow veggies, but his point is your plants need to produce seeds. They need to multiply. And so, let's come back to verse 9 with his command. Oop, I pressed the wrong button. There we go. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen. Again, Jesus had something he wanted the crowd to hear and he wants us to hear it too. But not all hear. This is kind of the first shock in the passage, I think. I expect most of you are quite familiar with this, but it's still shocking. Among those crowds that went out to listen to Jesus that day were a bunch of people that basically went home thinking, what a waste of time. And in the room today, there'll be people who right now are thinking, man, 25 minutes of this, what a waste of time. I can never get that time back. Some will not listen. And so Jesus warned his disciples. In verse 11, he said, the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you. But to those outside, everything comes in parables, so that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and not yet understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven. See, the disciples asked Jesus, explain this parable to us. But before he explains it, he encourages them that they've been given the secrets of the kingdom of God. But many others will not understand. They will not turn to Jesus for forgiveness. And friends, we have those secrets. But we know the secrets of the kingdom of God. They've been handed down to us. We have them in our Bibles. But anyone who ever has tried to share the gospel with someone, you'll have experienced this. Now, sometimes I go to someone and say, hey, I'm Jim, I want to talk about Jesus. And they say, oh, no, thanks, mate, I'm right. That's almost the word-for-word response. No, thanks, mate, I'm right. Internally, I'm screaming, I'm going, you are not right. I'm not an insurance salesman selling you something you don't need. This is the word of life. You need this. You need to listen to Jesus. And so if you're here today, if you've been dragged here, welcome, by the way, if you've been dragged here, but listen. Listen today. That's Jesus' command to the crowd. That's his command to us. Listen, because these words can bring you life. They can bring you peace with God. They can bring you eternal life, and they can give you a fruitful life today. So Jesus, after rebuking the disciples for their failure to understand, then does what the disciples ask, and he explains the parable to them from verse 14. The sower sows the word. Some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. Now, of course, Jesus is describing his own ministry. He's the sower. He's going out, he's preaching the word. And for some people, they just don't hear it. And friends, that's been true forever, hasn't it? That's been true for Jesus' apostles. It's been true for us. Sometimes we speak the word and people can't hear it. And so it's fairly straightforward. You can just imagine, I share the good news with Jesus like that, might the guy I speak to who says, no thanks mate, I'm right. Internally he's thinking, I don't need this nonsense. I don't need church. I don't need Jesus. I can live a good life without any of this. Satan snatches away that word. The second example, I think, is heartbreaking. Others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. But they have no root. They're short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. I still remember the first time I ever shared the good news of Jesus with someone who received him as Lord. Back at Cambridge Park was the church I was at the time. And this young woman said, yes, I want to be a Christian. She prayed the prayer. She was baptized. And a few weeks later, she fell away. Heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, right? Because you are emotionally invested in these people. You put everything you can into these people, and watch them fall away is devastating. Honestly, I have sat in rooms with people who are weeping as I share the good news of Jesus with them. They're hearing it and they're weeping with joy. And weeks later, nowhere to be seen. It is distressing. I've seen people exchange Christ for a boyfriend or girlfriend. But mostly I see people fall away because of their own desire. Their desire to be the boss of their lives. And if that's you today, if you're here thinking, look, I'm not sure about this whole church thing or Jesus. You know, I'm not sure you've really got anything to offer me that being at home on Sunday morning isn't improved by. Then Jesus wants you to listen to him. If you've made a start in the Christian life, whether it's 6 weeks or 60 years, and you're not sure you want to continue, that you're thinking you want to pull away from Christ, and I urge you today, listen to him. You need this word. If you've got doubts, let's explore them honestly. But don't fall away from the hope that is in Jesus. I plead with you to listen to him. Now, the third soil. This is the one that I think shocked me a little bit. But for completely different reasons. Verse 18. Others are like seed sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word. But the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Here's my question. do you think that you're the fourth soil when maybe you're the third soil? I think this is our problem. We hear the word, we receive Jesus Christ as Lord, but then we are choked out by the desires of our own lives and we bear no fruit. I want you to look carefully at this text, right? Look carefully at these words. This person does not fall away. The problem with this person is that they don't bear fruit. Right, look at Jesus' words, that's what he's saying. This is a person who says, yeah, Jesus is my Lord, I'm a Christian, but isn't bearing that fruit. Do they have a saving faith in Jesus? I think so, I hope so. But that's not Jesus' only concern in this parable. Jesus didn't share the gospel so that we would go, yeah, okay, I give mental assent to Jesus, I'm saved, great, end. No, he told us the gospel so that we would bear fruit, so that we would multiply and grow disciples. See, this person, this category of person might be coming to church regularly, might throw a few dollars in the plate, might even serve once or twice a month on a Sunday, but they're not sowing the seed. They're not bearing fruit. When I wrestled with this for that week back in September, it horrified me. We're made to bear fruit. We are made for wholehearted devotion to Jesus. And for many of us, the worries about our own lives choke out the desire to live for Jesus. I hope that is as horrifying for you as it is for me. I don't want to live a life like that. I don't want to live a life where I say Jesus is Lord, but actually I'm more worried about the things of this world. I say, I think this is the most challenging for us Christians. We are made to bear fruit. As others have shared the word of life with us, we are made to share this word with others. And so I ask you, is that you? Are you sowing the word of God into others? Are you bearing fruit? And if the answer to that is no, what does Jesus want you to do? He wants you to listen. Listen to him. Shut out the desires, shut out the worries, and listen to Jesus. Because God has a better plan for you. And we see that in verse 20. And those like seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. The plant in the good soil produces fruit. It was true for Jesus and it's true for us. Of course, when the planter plants his plants, he wants them to bear fruit. A farmer who can't grow fruit is unemployed. The thing Jesus wants is for people to listen so that we will bear fruit. And so, friends, we need to farm before we feast. Right? We have not entered into the feast yet. We still have a job to do. We still have work to do. We're here to farm the fields to bear fruit. Jesus calls you to make and grow disciples. So now, listen. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his word. Take it in, live it out, and speak that word to others. So let's think about speaking. Now, I've seen a lot of plants die in my garden. If there was such a charge as plant slaughter, I may be guilty. I think there may be times when I should just dig a bigger hole at the start and just bury the plant and save time. But Jesus is talking about something much more serious. He's talking about people hearing the word, following him, and making disciples. You have been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, not so that you would keep it a secret, but so that you would share that word with others. So what is the word we are to sow? Let me remind you, back in Mark chapter 1, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What an incredible act of grace it is that you have received this good news. If you're a Christian in the room today, what an act of grace. That you are a child of God, loved by Him. Through His death, He's brought us forgiveness of sins. And yet we're still called people to repent and believe. This is the word Jesus has been teaching along. And notice it's not just information. It's a message with a command. Repent and believe. Turn back to God and believe the good news He has for you. You know, I've had people in this church say to me, actually, the soil's really hard out there. And as I wrestle with it, I think that's not the soil I'm worried about. It's the soil in us I'm worried about. That perhaps we're too hard-hearted to sow this seed, to share this word. It's our soil I'm worried about, not the soil out there. Friends, I want to remind you that this year we've seen 10 people turn to Christ for the first time and keep following Him. There is soil out there that is good, that we need to sow into. Friends, you are made to bear fruit. You are made to speak the good news of Jesus Christ to others. So my encouragement today, listen. Listen to Jesus so that you might bear much fruit. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His word to us. And now, Father, I pray, give us ears to hear, that we would listen and that we would bear much fruit for your glory. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will multiply disciples and that you will grant many to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord through our ministry. And we pray this for His glory. Amen.